On with us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network and a regular on this show. Well, Doug, the offseason program is into its fourth day, and to me, this is as much about getting to know the players who have already been on this team as it is anything else. I mean, a familiarizing for this coaching staff. I know Brad Roll, the strength and conditioning coach, is doing the bulk of the work with these guys, but you know the assistant coaches also have their opportunities now to really kind of get an idea of what they're working with.
Well, not only that, I think it builds up relationships, and I think through the course of a season, you know, you get to know the players a little bit better, and I think, you know, to get a start on it, because you can see them on tape and watch them play, but, you know, you got to put the personality with the person, and I think that's a big part of, you know, establishing any kind of chemistry within your football team, and I think chemistry is a big part of, you know, any team that has had success is the fact that, you know, everybody, you know, works together.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, that's been interesting is the players also kind of getting to know each other, new players in the building. This team's brought in a lot of them. Doug, when you, again, think about it from the team aspect, from having been a part of this as a player, when you go through this much of a changeover, and this is a pretty significant one pre-draft when you're going to have even more new faces coming aboard in a matter of weeks, what does that do to the kind of the culture and the balance of a football team?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you pick up a player that, you know, you think is going to be a plus or a guy that's going to be an impact player for you, obviously, you know, you're excited about it because, you know, that's the only way you're going to get better. I think, you know, the fact that they've signed some free, you know, agents, they come in, you're going to want to get to know them. You know, I always thought, you know, with the rookies, you waited to see if they made the team before you learned their name. But, you know, I think with the veterans that they've brought in through free agency, it gives them a chance, you know, really to, you know, kind of get into the community because, you know, it's not just the time that you spend on the field. You know, it's, you know, your family and how you get situated and, you know, talking to other guys, you know, where do you go to eat? Where do you do this? Where do you do that? And I think it's, you know, it's a big plus. So once the season, you know, rolls around, all those, you know, little things that you don't have to go out, you know, hunting anymore, you know, you've got the advice of guys that have been here.
You know, it's interesting, in the day-to-day, the part of this that I have been paying attention to all week is where most of the interaction is taking place, which is in basically the cafeteria, at the lunch hour, when everybody's coaches and players, everybody kind of congregates. And you look at Brad Roll, and he's in there, I mean, I think first and foremost as a strength and conditioning coach to see what guys are putting on their plates, because there's a lot of reminders in that cafeteria about the calorie counts and all the numbers of eating, right? Well, on top of that, I know he's keeping an eye on that because you rarely see him sit. He's just hovering around, talking with guys, talking with players, talking with coaches, but just keeping his eye on everything. And as much as anything else, too, just reinforcing, I think, a lot of the core principle elements that he's trying to bring to this. And, you know, you could talk about we may not mention strength and conditioning very much when we talk about a football team, but I think it is a bigger deal probably than a lot of us allow ourselves to get into, Doug, when we talk about it, and finding ways to physically train players so that they can stay healthier. You know, it's been a problem for this team, and it's something that he's got to be here to solve.
Well, I mean, you're always going to have injuries, but I think, you know, the strength program is. It's a career lengthener. I mean, it gives you an opportunity to extend your career. And, you know, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And, you know, I think, you know, we've seen, you know, the teams that went to the Super Bowl this year, both very physical football teams. And, you know, I think that's something that they're trying to build here with the people that they've acquired over the last few years. And, you know, when you're playing a Pittsburgh or you're playing a Baltimore, it's going to be a physical football game. So, you know, I think that's a big part of it because those are the people you got to beat if you're going to go anywhere anyhow.
Yeah, and you're right. Getting bigger, getting stronger, and again, staying healthy. Those are the points that he's brought up, and a lot goes into that. I mean, I don't know if you can prevent certain injuries from happening, and I think a lot of them that have happened to this team, concussions and so forth, are nothing that a strength and conditioning coach is going to do to prevent those necessarily, but I know he's in here with a sense of retraining the ways of how these players have gone through this before. And that's not just from a previous regime of strength and conditioning, but those also learning what they learned from the collegiate level.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's something that is, you know, football, the new millennium, is the watching of the food and what you eat, the calorie intake, the good foods, they have them all marked with, you know, good, so-so, not good.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's important. And it goes beyond really, you know, just the playing field because, you know, after football, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you see guys that balloon up because, you know, they're never going to work out again. And it really, you know, kind of, I think in the big picture, it not only, you know, helps the career while you're playing, it helps your lifestyle after you're done.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Doug Deacon joining us. He is from the Browns Radio Network via the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Doug, the Browns also are going to have a name. You talk about getting used to some new names. Brandon Bugatti is here as a kicker, and I know that one is one that we may have to remember because he'll be kicking for this team during the season, or someone who will see what the competition is at the position. But he comes in with no experience in the NFL, and I think from that standpoint he's intriguing. He also did very little at the collegiate level that you could speak of. So when you look at him and see him come in and, you know, the big shoes that he has to fill, it's certainly something that we're all gonna look at and pay attention to. But it also doesn't necessarily mean he can't succeed in a spot that has been handled so well for so many years by Phil Dawson.
Well, yeah, and opportunity is nothing, you know, without preparation, as they always say. And, you know, he has a background, but, you know, there's nobody that's going to be under the microscope, you know, even the quarterback. I don't think it will be under the microscope as much as the kicker because of the, you know, the great track record that Phil Dawson had here and the consistency that he, you know, he showed and the kind of guy he was. And, you know, with that said, you know, Phil has, you know, got a chance to, you know, hopefully, you know, next year maybe we'll see him in a Super Bowl. But, you know, that's, you know, what you'd like to see. You know, the Browns play the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and Phil gets his chance and the Browns get their chance. But with that said, yeah, you know, I think, you know, the kicker is an important, you know, part of it. And I think, you know, you also have to bring in competition for him, too, just to make sure that, you know, if things don't work out the way they hope it, they do, that, you know, you've got somebody that, you know, you can call on to give a try.
With the draft fast approaching and the needs being, I guess, what they are or how they've been addressed, for the most part, I sit thinking that the majority of what you thought this team would set out to do has been done. There will still be questions about, okay, do they need a corner? Do they have to come out of this draft with a corner? And I'm thinking, you know, those who would like the D. Milner factor, maybe get him up high. Big, you know, a lot of people clamoring for that among fans, I guess. And then you also, though, look at wide receiver and the thought that maybe that's another spot that this team would like to add to somewhere along the line. Are those two areas in particular you're paying attention to, or how are you? What's your mindset based on what you've seen this team do and what you think it still needs to do?
Well, obviously the secondary, not only the cornerback, but the safety position with Osama Young not being here anymore. I think, you know, those are two that you're going to look at. I think, you know, linebacker. We've got some young kids, but, you know, they just have 1 year under their belt. And I think, you know, with the when they released Chris Gokong, that, you know, all of a sudden you say, well, maybe that's even though we went out and got Paul Kruger, that's a place we're going to need a body there too. The wide receiver, yeah, I think, you know, that's something that I don't look at it as important as on the defensive side and, you know, getting that cornerback and that safety. And, you know, it sets up for, you know, for them to be able to do it.
Yeah, and that'll be something, again, a lot of us are going to want to see play out. And also we'll get a good feel for, because we just don't know yet about the drafting philosophy, the strategies. I mean, we can guess at what we think we know, especially from Joe Banner's time with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's talked about his history of as a guy who likes to trade down. Michael Lombardi, part of this thing, again, in a role that he hasn't been before, so we'll see exactly what how that all plays out with the tendencies that he may bring. But we know he's learned from a lot of really good people. We know Joe Banner's been around a lot of really good people, and himself has been part of a lot of success. And I think we're all going to, you know, kind of get an education, really, as to how this draft plays out, whether there's a lot of movement. I mean, people, you talk to the analysts, Doug, and the guys like Mel Kiper and others expect the Browns to be a pretty active team on draft day, and now that they've got the additional picks from this Colt McCoy trade, they just might very well be.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the important thing is you don't force a pick. You know, you take the player that's the best player, and you try to fit him in a position where it's a position of need. And the other thing, you know, with the release of Gokong and Sheldon Brown not coming back, and so this is by far going to be the youngest, I think, team in the NFL. This is, as far as experience goes, you know, because they've gotten rid of some age there, and in doing so, they're, I think, hoping that they can build a team that is going to, you know, become ready at the same time, where, you know, you're going to have a run of, you know, 4 or 5 years where you don't have to do a lot of tinkering.
Doug, I do want to get your thoughts on Colt McCoy, just a summary, just because of a guy that was here and a presence and is very popular in so many ways, and I know a guy you knew well on this team. Just some quick thoughts on the McCoy time in Cleveland.
Well, you know, I always thought, you know, he would be a perfect fit for a West Coast offense because of, you know, his mobility and not having the strongest arm. But, you know, in doing so, I think, you know, he got a little messed up because, you know, the West Coast offense that Mike Holmgren ran and the West Coast offense that Pat Shurmur ran were a little bit different. And I think, you know, in some ways, you know, you had the union problems for a while. That didn't help him.
Right.
And, you know, you wanted him, you know, you always hear people say, it takes a quarterback a couple years in an offense, in a West Coast offense, really to get it down. And with that said, I think, you know, Colt probably, you know, didn't get the time that maybe he needed. But with that said, I'm not sure, you know, if the arm was there to, you know, to do it on a regular basis. And as, you know, we look at the more vertical game that I think Chud and Norv Turner are going to bring, you know, it's pretty obvious that you need that big, strong arm. And you look not only at Brandon Whedon, but you look at Jason Campbell and even Thaddeus Lewis. I mean, you've got three guys that are pretty good slingers there. And, you know, Colt was, you know, a great guy in the locker room, you know, up until, last year or so. Mm-hmm. He had the most wins in college. And he was a professional. You know, the same can be said of, you know, the other guys that, you know, have moved on. Sheldon Brown, you know, classy guy, professional. But, you know, time, you know, had caught up with him. And, you know, Chris Gokong, you know, he unfortunately got hurt last year. So, you know, you can't stay pat. You got to move on if you're going to get any better.
It's funny how you bring up the size of the players at the position now at quarterback when you see these guys kind of walk out of the building. I mean, first of all, the average height at quarterback with McCoy's absence from this group now, you look at Whedon, Campbell, and Lewis, and they're towering guys. I mean, they're big physical guys that I think changes and tells you everything probably you need to know about the philosophy of this passing game.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, having played with a guy that was about Colt McCoy's size and Brian Sipe, you know, and I told Colt one day, I said, you know, when I came into the league, they drafted Mike Phipps number third overall. And in 1980, Brian Sipe was the league's MVP, and Mike Phipps was out of the league. So, you know, it's not always the size, it's the way the guy plays. And, you know, sometimes it's just getting all the pieces and parts around them because, you know, all the emphasis is on the quarterback. But with that said, you know, without the offensive line, without the running game, and without the receivers, you know, that catch the ball on a consistent basis, it doesn't matter who's there, he's going to have problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. You can, no matter what size you are, you also have to have, you got to be protected, and you better be able to get the ball out of your hands quickly and run the offense as well as it needs to be run. Doug, great. We appreciate you taking the time, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good.
Doug Deacon joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up for you on ESPN 850 WKNR.